Welcome to the show, where country music's biggest stars share their stories, and the hits keep coming.
Hey, y'all, it's Lainey Wilson.
Hey, everybody, it's John Party.
Hey, guys, it's Jordan Davis.
And you're listening to DJ Chris Armstrong.
You're listening to DJ Chris Armstrong.
DJ Chris Armstrong.
This is Country Conversations with your host, DJ Chris Armstrong.
Tough times make tough people. Yeah, sure makes some tough people.
How's it going? You good?
I'm going good, bub. How about yourself?
Oh, good, yeah. Yeah, pleased to be chatting with you. So thanks for your time.
Yeah, thank you.
So we'll start at the beginning, yeah? So you're from Illinois originally?
Yeah, Southern Illinois. Grew up in the middle of nowhere, a little town called Patoka, like 500 people. Graduated high school with 22 kids, and then moved out to Nashville.
Very good, very good. How was life growing up in a small town? Yeah,
yeah, man, it was great. Grew up on a farm, absolutely loved it. You know, when I sit down to write songs, I think a lot of my growing up now. You know, a lot of people are like, "Why do you sing country music?" And it's like, first off, you hear how I talk. Like, there's no other way I can sing anything else. But it's my life. It's how I grew up, you know, grew up on the farm, grew up hunting, grew up going to church in a little small town, one room church. And I just love writing songs about how I grew up and where I'm from and my family, and all that is just country music.
Yeah, yeah, I get that totally. I see it myself here in Northern Ireland. I grew up on a farm outside Belfast, and I went to school with a lot of tiny folks, so they didn't quite get it. But there's nothing more peaceful than standing at the fence looking out. We live on a hill above Belfast, and all you just see is the city before you. But it's an impressive view. But
Wow. Again,
there's nothing like being out in the countryside, you know, in the nature there with you.
Yeah, well, it's our first time. We're super excited. We're coming to Belfast on March 18th, and to headline our first show ever in Northern Ireland. We've never done this, and we're going to Dublin also the next day. And, you know, I want to see some of that country. I want to see some of that country in Belfast.
For sure, for sure. I think there'll be a lot of folk pleased to see you over this side of the pond as well. So it's good to have you.
Oh, man, we're super excited. You know, I've been wanting to come over there and do some touring for the last couple of years. And, you know, now we get to be a part of C2C. And I think we're going to do about 2 weeks in Europe and the UK and Northern Ireland, all that stuff. So we're excited to see a bunch of people over there.
How do you define it? I know you were like in around. I mean, see, if I give you, I do this with most people I interview. So if I give you a date, could you tell me what happened on that date? Hopefully it'll work. The 15th. 15th of June. Well, June the 15th, 2016.
Played the Grand Ole Opry.
Very good.
Was that right?
That's right. Okay. Yeah, you won. You've got the points. Well done. Well done. I was interviewing one guy, and I gave him the date, and he didn't know what happened. And I think the Opry is such an institution that deserves a huge amount of respect. Well done on that one, yeah.
Man, thank you. That was you don't forget when you play the Opry for the first time. Yeah. You know, it's just Josh Turner came out on stage and surprised me too, because I was singing one of his songs and he came out. It was just, yeah, it's a moment, a date that I'll never forget.
Yeah, very good, very good. Well, Josh Turner, I guess, was an influence for you getting in the country, was he? Because I know I've been doing a bit of research, and I think for your 18th birthday, you went to the Wild Horse Saloon.
Yeah, yeah. Went there, saw Josh Turner, was a big reason why I moved down here. And so, you know, think about that. That was probably, I don't know, 6 or 7 years later, I was playing the Grand Ole Opry. And of course, I had to, you know, pay tribute to Josh.
Yeah.
Tell that story about coming and coming to Nashville, seeing him, and this is one of the reasons why I'm here, and then him coming out on stage, I had no idea he was coming. It was crazy.
Very good. That's amazing. I think country music and religion run very close together. You know, there's the same kind of respect and hallowedness for the Opry and the country music genre, you know, and it's very much a family feel. That's the same you would have in a church. You know, you've got that family connection. You're all in this together, and I think the country music family is very much of the same cut.
Yeah, you know, it's fun when you move here. You know, I moved here 13 years ago, and a lot of my friends that moved here at the same time that I did, they're really doing stuff, you know, and It's fun to watch them succeed. It's fun to watch them win. And when you're here in Nashville and doing it, you just meet so many people and you create so many great relationships. And it's such a, it's almost like a high school, you know, like everybody knows everybody. It's a, you get in that circle and start being like, everywhere you go, you're like, oh crap, there's so-and-so again, you know, and you just start really creating friendships and lifelong friendships. I mean, some of these people and artists, I feel like I've grown up with them.
Yeah.
Moved here at the same time, 13 years ago. And now we're getting to, you know, I'm watching them play arenas and headline those arenas and play their own shows or write hits. And it's really, really fun. We're getting to do our dreams that we used to sit in little apartments and talk about our dreams and write songs together and say, man, maybe one day we'll get to play Bridgestone Arena here in Nashville. Maybe we'll get to go overseas and somebody will know our song over there. Now I'm getting to watch my friends do that. It's super cool.
Well, I know things were getting big for you, like before COVID. And then did COVID put much of a break on things for you? Was it like a reset button, or how did you manage to cope through that time?
Yeah. You know, I had a record deal from 2015 to 2019, and that record label closed down in 2019. And with that closing came the closing of me no longer having a booking agent, my manager leaving. And it was kind of like a whole, hey, Drew, we tried with Drew. It didn't work. He had 4 failed singles. So 2020 came and I was like, man, what do I do? And I didn't have a booking agent. I didn't have anything. So I just posted on social media and it was just like, hey, I'll play in anybody's backyard that'll have me.
Yeah.
And I was just hoping we'd get 5 or 10 requests. We ended up getting like 20 some thousand, Chris. And
wow.
I went around the states for 4 years, 2020 to 24, and played over 400 people's backyards, just me and a guitar. And I learned a lot about myself and learned a lot about the people I'm making music for. It was the coolest tour, you know, really, really special. Learned a lot. And got back. Music, you know, got back to the roots of music and back to the why that I do this. And during that time, you know, me and my wife get married. I have a song called She's Somebody's Daughter.
Yeah, yeah.
Dances too with her dad on our wedding night. We go on our honeymoon. I post it on TikTok. And I just say, hey, if you like this song, I'll put it out. And we woke up the next morning. It had almost 10 million views on it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, every record label is going to be calling now, you know? And nobody did. Nobody called. And so I was like, what in the world? Like, what's going on? Am I really that damaged goods? You know, like, why is nobody calling? And so I decided that, you know what? I'm playing people's backyards. I'm seeing it react. I know people know this song. I see it has 100 streams on it. It has over 1 billion plays on TikTok. I'll just create my own record label. I'll just do this myself. I'll hire my own staff and give this a full swing. And everybody's like, you're crazy. This can't be done. This has never been done before. You're going to waste all your money. And I was like, well, I believe in this song. I've been telling y'all for years. You know, here it is. The song came out 2019 first, the wedding version that we got married 2021, and I sent it to radio in 2023. And so you're talking 4 years of believing in a song when nobody else in Nashville gets it. And you're like, you know what? I'm going to try it. Well, then I create my own staff. I sent it to radio, and it took me a year. In the middle of last year, man, we took it all the way to number one, first time in the history of country music as an independent artist to get their first number one. And talk about rewarding, man. Talk about a big win for independent artists. Talk about a win for country radio, for supporting me. And very, very humbled by that and very proud to say, you know, we could have given up and moved back home and just worked on the farm with our family, but we worked hard. We worked hard to get that first number one, and I'm very, very proud of it. You know, very, very proud of that.
I'd say that, as you can say, I'm sure there's a great sense of achievement there, and like even, I'm sure there's people that have passed up on it. You know, and you've took it, you've made it your own, done your own thing with it, and showed them this is what you could have had. You've missed out on something special here. So no, hats off to that. Hats off.
Yeah, well, thanks, man. And it was just like too. I think for me, it was just like, hey, I'm not crazy. You know, like this is. This is working and this can work. And, you know, now to think we had one hit with She's Somebody's Daughter. And now we put out Tough People just the end of last year. And to think it's already top 20 at country radio it went number one in the UK which is exciting. And this song is such a real song too. I mean, it says so many real things in it, just like Daughter does. And that's what I'm so proud of, is that our music is cutting through. The music that we're creating is cutting through, which is real life songs, real messages.
Well, you've touched upon it. So tell us about the Tough People song then, and then the foundation off the back of that then as well, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. So we wrote this song when I was struggling, sending She's Somebody's Daughter to radio. And I felt alone. It was a tough time. My co-writer brought the idea in of tough times make tough people. And he said, I've been saving this for you. And I was like, dang, dude, let's write that. Yeah. We wrote the, you know, we wrote the hook, hard work pays off, good beats evil, tough times make tough people. And we just looked at each other. We're like, man, this is what the world needs right now. Let's not screw this up. And we wrote the chorus first. And we were like, okay, let's put as much real life in it as possible. You know, let's make people, when they hear this, be like, oh my gosh, I can't believe they put this in a song. You know, childhood cancer. You think about tornadoes through Nashville. We had a big tornado hit here in 2020, and people lost their lives and lost their homes.
Yeah.
You think about farmers and single moms and school shootings and veterans. And we put it all in there, man. We're just like, we're going to be as real as possible. And this became my fight song when I was sending She's Somebody's Daughter to radio, of just like, don't give up, man. There's so many people going through tough times. You're going through a tough time, but you can come out stronger because of this. And so I knew it had to be the second single. I knew when we wrote it, I was like, man, if we can get number one with She's Somebody's Daughter, this would be the perfect follow-up. Because I almost feel like the follow-up is sometimes harder than the first.
Yeah.
Because what do I do? Like, what are people expecting of me? How is it going to sound being the She's Somebody's Daughter guy forever? You know, like, I didn't want to be that. I wanted to be more than that. I wanted to have more of a message. And it's been really powerful and awesome to watch this song do that.
Well, I think when I listen to Tough People, it reminds me, you say there's a grit in it, you know, there's a realism there, and that's what people want from country music, to be fair. But it reminds me of one of my favorite artists would be Brad Paisley and his song This Is Country Music, you know. And it's your song kind of is, well, that's what it's about, the real life, real day drama, that's speaking to people, reaching hearts, you know.
Yeah, and that's what we're here for. You know, that's what I'm here for. That's what I want to create. That's why I'm sitting in my room at 16 years old writing songs, just hoping I can make a difference with them. And, you know, the amount of people that these two songs alone have touched is powerful. It's special. And it's what I wanted to do, and I hope I can continue to do. And that's what, like, just like you said, country music's supposed to do that. It's supposed to make people feel, supposed to make people think, supposed to put people in a moment and in a situation. And I'm proud to say that our music does that.
Well, the music video is a very, very emotive, and then at the end you have the crowd behind you as it's finishing. Like, and were those actors, or those real people? And you know,
there are no actors in the video at all.
Yeah, yeah.
Those are all my family and friends from my hometown. We went up and shot it in my hometown, and I just told everybody on Facebook in my hometown area, like, "Hey, we're shooting a music video. If you want to be in it,
yeah,
go to the old state building at 6 p.m. and we'll put you in it, you know." And I thought I was like, man, I hope we have 100 people. And we go there, man, it's like the whole community was there, like hundreds and hundreds of people, maybe 1,000 people show up. And we're like, oh my gosh, how are we going to fit everybody in this video? But I think it's so powerful to show the struggles throughout life of tough people. And then at the end of this music video, it shows, hey, we're just all in it together.
Yeah, yeah.
We're all struggling
for yourself and the effort you've put in, and then those guys come out and support you. You know, you're not by yourself. You've got these guys behind you.
Yeah, exactly. We're all behind it. Like, I think too, it shows people who's ever going through that to not be scared of community, and to know that you have other people that you can rely on, other tough people when you're going through tough times. Don't be scared to open up and talk to them, because when you get a community behind you, it really helps.
Yeah. So I take it at the minute you've got a bit of downtime then before the tour kicks off for Berlin. I think Berlin's your first European date.
Yeah, Berlin's our first date, and it goes on from there. I think we go to Rotterdam and then Stockholm and London, Glasgow. We also go to, obviously, Belfast. We're super pumped. First headline show in Belfast, first headline show in Dublin, and then we'll come back to the States, but then we'll be planning our second trip. Everybody's already talking about already coming back over before we're even there. So
very good.
I hope people come out. We've never played in Belfast. We've never played in Dublin. I think I'm most worried about my headline shows than I am like the big festivals and the big things, because it's like, hey, people are coming for that. I just want to make sure that when people come out, people actually show up to see us play in Belfast and Dublin. So if you're listening up, come on out. We're going to be playing. It's going to be fun.
Yeah. Fantastic. Is there any, have you much time then when you're here? So it's a fairly busy schedule. Do you plan to do much when you're in Ireland, north or south?
Man, we're running and gunning, yeah. You know, so I don't know what days we have open, what days we have off. I know it's close to St. Paddy's Day, yeah. So it could be crazy. So we're going to try to see and do as much as we can.
Fantastic. Well, thank you very much for your time. And safe travels. All the best for the big arenas and things. But I can't wait to see you in Belfast.
All right, brother. We'll see you soon.
Cheers. Thanks for that.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to another Country Conversation with DJ Chris Armstrong. We hope you enjoyed today's show.
I love the show, guys. You're awesome.
For more information and updates, make sure to follow DJ Chris Armstrong on Facebook and on Instagram at DJ_Chris Armstrong.
I always follow him.
Make sure to stay up to date with the latest episodes on Spotify, Amazon, DJChrisArmstrong.com, and more.
It's all online.
On the web.
Until next time, take care.